You can shop from anywhere doing pretty much anything. You might shop while working, eating, or even listening to this podcast. And however you shop, we all know and love the thrill of the hunt. But do you also know how to get the thrill of the best deals? Because Rakuten shoppers do. With Rakuten, they get the deals they love with the most savings and cash back. And you can get it too. Start getting cash back at your favorite stores like Sephora, Nike, and even Expedia if you're looking to get some travel in. And getting cash back doesn't mean you have to miss out on sales because those can just be stacked right on top. It's easy to use and based on a simple idea. Stores pay Rakuten for sending them shoppers, and Rakuten shares the money with you as cash back through PayPal or check. Download the free Rakuten app and never miss a deal. Or go to Rakuten.com to start getting the most bang for your buck. That's Rakuten.
Have you ever watched an apocalyptic sci-fi movie and wondered, could any of this really happen? I'm Carrie Bechet, and on Hypothetical, we explore what-if questions two ways, through speculative science fiction and through insight from the world's most brilliant scientists. And spoiler alert, your favorite sci-fi movies aren't nearly as far-fetched as you may think. Time travel with me into our possible futures on Hypothetical. New episodes every Tuesday, available on all podcast apps. That's Hypothetical, Hyperthetical.
Let's hang out.
Let's hang out.
And let's talk about what lesbians have found.
Let's hang out.
And let's listen to two lesbians shout.
Let's hang out.
Let's hang out.
Hey, Let's Hang Out listeners. As you know, we take our summer hiatus and we like to use that to highlight other queer podcasters. So today we have an episode from Les Chat with JoJo and Daira. This is an incredible episode. I've been following these two on TikTok, on Instagram. They have great advice about queer dating and what it's like to date a woman. So this particular episode honestly cracks me up because it's all about, you know, when a straight girl is like, oh, it'd just be so much easier if I could date a woman. And you're like, clearly you've never dated a woman. So that's what they're going to dive into here. All of the pros and cons that come from dating a woman. So here we go.
Welcome back to another episode of Let's Chat Podcast, y'all. I am your host, JoJo.
And I'm Daira.
Ooh. You see my gains?
Oh, she's been working out.
It's not there yet. I got a long way to go.
I see gains.
I love the gas though, babe. Thank you. You see him? It's because she felt them. She felt the pump when I was getting it. Yeah. Anyway. Where's the juice out here in these streets?
I was going to welcome the people who haven't been, who have not listened to the podcast, and this is their first episode.
This is your first episode. You know what? I'm not going to lie. Yep, you're right. This probably will be the first episode that a lot of newcomers will see because of the title. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. We know y'all just want the gay shit. Like, it's okay. I want the gay shit too. It be like that.
Right. So welcome, 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 welcome to Let's Chat Podcast, where we talk about gay stuff.
Or a good majority of it is gay
good
shit.
Good majority, not everything.
We try to get, you know, a little bit gay relation in there, mm-hmm. Other than just us being gay.
Yeah.
But in our reality, we get down to a little bit of everything, you know, that mm-hmm. pertains to us personally, because we are also here to give personal experiences and just share our perspectives on things, mm-hmm. as we've been saying. So if this is your first time coming and seeing mm-hmm. this video, I hope you enjoyed it and I hope you share it and the people you share it to loves it, enjoys it, and that you guys continue to follow us moving forward. We have a shit ton of previous episodes, so go ahead and check that out as well. Spotify, mm-hmm. Apple Podcasts, YouTube, you know, all the shits. Just click the link in the bio, you heard. Mm-hmm.
We also do this thing called family meetings where our listeners ask us questions and we answer them to the best of our ability. We're not professionals, like JoJo said. This is just based on our experiences. And yeah, we're two queer Latinas who are in a relationship and we felt like this was needed. But yeah, we're not going to give you too much. Go ahead and do your own research on the podcast and keep listening.
Yeet.
So In this episode, we are going to talk about, as you see the title, 10 things we knew before. 10 things I wish I knew before coming out.
She's nervous, y'all. She's nervous.
She can't.
She said there might be new people here. Hold on. Nah, but if you, for those of you who've been following us, or if you're going to catch up on previous episodes, we did do an episode that was 10 things I wish I knew before dating women, and that actually did really well. So, you know, kind of just piggybacking off of that, we figured we'd do 10 things we wish we knew before coming out. So, that's, you want to get into it?
Or yeah, let's get into it. Let's do this.
Let's do the damn thing.
All right. You want to do number one?
Yeah. So, number one is you don't have to change your styles or mannerisms or behavior when coming out. And she said that to me because she knew that I was out here switchy, swatchy, all that shit. I 110% agree. When I was, I'm not going to say when I was first coming out, but in my beginning stages of getting into my experience of liking women, or like, you know, knowing that girls liking girls was a thing. Mind you, I was super young. I was 14 years old in fucking middle school. And I had just come to realize, like, this is a thing. And I wasn't the only one. So for me, I grew up very tomboyish. So it only made sense for me to be more, so to say, like, aggressive, like a stud, I guess, so to say. So I was just giving into a lot of my what's the word? I can never think of what the fuck I'm trying to say. But I was giving more so into my tomboyish side, and because I was more comfortable that way. So I was getting into hats and like presenting myself more masculine, so to say. That's the word I'm looking for. I was conforming more to my masculine side and completely neglected my feminine personality and presentation and traits as I was getting older, that I just thought I had to look this way, you know? Like, if I know that my mannerism in a way is like kind of in that masculine energy, that I had to shed myself in a masculine light. And I feel like for me, that just threw me in a specific label, you know, an idea of like, this is the type of lesbian you have to be. You're either super girly or you're super masculine. And again, because of my tomboyish ways, I was like, I'm gonna be masculine. And I don't know why I did that, because I mean, I'm still a little masculine, but yeah, I'm way more comfortable in my femininity than I was then. You're this I feel like a lot of this is gonna pertain to me, because you didn't have, like, you didn't go through this transition younger.
Yeah.
I like, feel in like, that stage where you didn't know who you were yet.
Right. I came out later in life. And, like, before coming out, I guess to me, that wasn't a thing, because I saw so many gay people who were femme, who were STEM, who were studs. So it was like, okay, I didn't know the labels back then. I didn't know any of that. I just knew, all right, there are some gay people who look more masculine, and there are some gay people who look more feminine. I didn't know there were actual terms.
You had a variety.
So I was just like, okay, I get, this is a thing. Like, you really don't know who's gay and who's not. And that's a good thing and a bad thing, because as a femme, I feel like sometimes femme actually do feel like they need to show more mask so people could know that they're actually like,
gay. Yeah.
So they might also change up their style. I don't think I changed up my style to the extreme, but I do think that I started becoming more comfortable in like wearing sneakers and cargos and things like that. Like, I always felt like I needed to like dress up and like wear like dresses and shit like that. And then I was like, no, I could wear suits. I could like, I could look a certain way and be comfortable and not be so feminine and wear heels all the time. Like, I was, I don't have to be like that. Like, yeah. I really don't. So, yeah. All right. Number two, your family and friends will not hate you. And if they don't support you, then you can cut them off.
Period.
So this is major for me. Like if you get anything out of this, I really want you to remember that they're not going to hate you, even though it feels like they hate you. I feel like it's like a big adjustment for parents, especially parents who come from different backgrounds who aren't really woke, who don't really know what's going on with like society now. And we're so like free, and I feel like now you see that more, but back in the day you didn't see that. And my parents are a little bit old school. So I remember before coming out, I would stress so much about this. Like, I was stressed, like, about having to come out. And, like, I was in therapy and everything. Not because of that, but that was just, like, an added thing. And I was, like, I felt like I was living a lie. Like, I felt like I was stuck. And I was, like, I couldn't even communicate to my parents about, like, what I did last weekend. Because it was, like, I was on a date with a girl. Like, it was just, like, things like that. And it really felt like I was living a double life. And when you do that, it feels lonely. And it feels like... I feel like I got a hint of what depression feels like during that time, because I feel like I was just crying for no reason. Like, I would, because I felt guilty in a way, and then I felt like if I don't come out, I'm gonna, like, my mental health is gonna go to the floor, to shits. And if I do come out, I'm gonna feel more liberated, but my parents probably aren't gonna accept me.
Right.
And if you go back to like our previous episodes, I've definitely said it somewhere there and there, where my mom is this strict Dominican woman who back in the day, she had like some, I don't know if it was mental health issues or what, but she thought that my older sister was gay. So she literally kicked her out of the house for that one reason. So I was like, oh, that's not gonna happen. Like, I was like, yeah. So, you know, obviously I waited until a time where I was by myself and more independent. But, like, I feel like a lot of people still live with their parents. Mm-hmm. And I don't want to pressure anyone to coming out, but just know that it's not as bad as you think it's gonna be. Like, you'll be surprised by, like, how people react. The people who claim they love you the most will be weird about it. And the people who you think are going to feel some type of way don't fucking care. Mm-hmm. Literally don't care. Like, I remember telling one of my roommates, like, we were roommates in college, and she was, like, super religious. So I was scared to tell her because I'm like, oh, you know how people are in their religion and their, you know, male and female only type mentality. So I was a little scared to tell her. So I was crying. And she was like, super cool about it. She was like, you don't have to cry for that. Like, I accept you. Like, she ended up sleeping over. Like, her daughter was there. There was, like, no awkwardness. And I was literally shook. And, like, when I was telling my parents, I felt like I was getting, like, anxiety. Like, I couldn't fucking breathe. It sounds crazy, but, like, I don't know if anyone could relate to this, but it's a lot of pressure on somebody.
It is.
When they're in the closet. It's, like, so much pressure. And it leads you to, you know, feeling crazy. And then once you do come out, you feel a little bit better. But yeah.
I mean, coming out is definitely hard. And not everybody has the same experiences when coming out of being accepted by the ones closest to them. Mm-hmm. Like she said, it'd be the ones who claim that they love you till death do us part type shit. And they'll be the ones to really shame you. And then the ones who you think are going to be not shit are really going to, like, accept the fuck out of you. At the end of the day, though, like, I feel like that's something that you have to do for you. And if you feel like it's your time, then you should do it. But definitely don't do that shit for nobody. Don't do that for nobody. And I think, like, be sure and, like, comfortable with yourself to know, like, this is, I want to do this. You know, this is worth me doing this. I'm ready. You know, you never really know when you're going to be ready. It took me a lifetime to officially come out, at least to my mom. And, like, certain people, there was a very select few people who I hadn't officially come out to. Everyone else who I felt like, it wasn't like I didn't, like, the people who knew already, it's not like they didn't have a significance in my life. Like, I was cool with them or, like, friends and family, but it was just, like, their opinion. It didn't matter to me whether or not they were going to accept me or not. Like, it was just like, if you fuck with me, you do. If you don't, whatever. I'm not losing nothing. That's that's your loss more than it's mine. But when it came to, like, my mom, I definitely, like, it was a bigger deal for me because, Like, that woman knows me like the back of her hand, you know? Yeah. So I knew that she had already known, like, she had already known before I had told her, but I took a lifetime to tell her. I didn't tell her until I got in a relationship with her, which I was 26.
Right?
I don't know. 27? Oh, whatever. This is like 2 years ago. I literally just came out to my mom and was like, Well, I guess I not came out to her when I got with you. I think a couple months before that I did, because I've been living a life majority of the time where people have been outing me. People have been outing me to my mom. And that's the thing when we say, like, and be the people who claim they really fuck with you. They be the ones to run their mouth and out you because they want to see you suffer, you know? Like, people were coming and telling me, like, I'm sure some people thought they were doing me a favor by telling my mom, like, oh, she's going to be gay, or oh, she's gay, or oh, she's her. That's not her friend. That's her shorty or whatever. I don't know if they thought they was doing me a favor. Some people were, like, outing me selfishly because I didn't personally tell them and somebody else knew. Like, it's been some weird shit. And it's so crazy how much people really care about what you do or who you're loving.
Who you sleep with at night. Like, why does that bother you? Why are you pressed?
Yeah.
You don't have to see it.
Right. It, like, it's really wild. So, you know, I mean, I would like to say to keep your circle tight if you don't really want nobody to know and it's not your time. However, just because someone outs you, don't take that as you're coming out, you know? Yeah. Like, you only you could come out for you. People could say whatever the fuck they want, but that's not going to validate it. You have to validate that. Mm-hmm. So, that's all I'm going to say. What number are we on? Two?
Three.
Oh, three. Damn, we moving fast. Number three is, it's okay to come out later in life. 30, 40, 50, 60, 100. It don't matter. It does not. It does not have an age limit, a time limit. You know, this is one thing that we have to know or remember. It's like, when you're getting older, you change, you know? We change because we experience more things in life. We experience more people, you know, and we're supposed to change. And sometimes we come in contact with people that we didn't even know we could love on a different level, you know? So it's okay to come out later in life, y'all. Just know it's gonna happen.
Yeah, I think that sometimes people don't want to come out later in life is because
I think it's over.
They've been married to a man before. They've had kids, obviously, like, with a man. So it's like they feel like they're invalid. Like, like, people are gonna, like, be like, you're not fucking gay, fuck out of here. Like, you were married, you have kids. Like, nobody could tell you about yourself, first of all. And it really warms my heart when people message us and they're, like, late in, like, 30s, 40s, 50s, and they'll say things like, you know, I want to come out, but, like, I don't know how everyone's going to react. And it's like, obviously, we can't push you to do anything, but we just want you to know that it is okay to come out later in life.
Yeah.
So,
like, at the end of the day, you're the one who got to lay with the person you're going to lay with. So, if that's what you want to do. And you guys also have to remember, too, is that when people got into those relationships where they were married or had kids, most of them had it young.
Yeah.
And that's why they're in their 30s, 40s, pondering on their sexuality, too, is because they hindered that side of them when they got into those relationships. You know, there's a lot of things when you don't explore yourself and explore life, you always wonder, like, oh, I wonder what that would have been like if I got with that person, or if I did that, or, you know, if I moved here, you know?
Yeah.
So I think, like, once people finally get that break in life where they're, like, no longer in that situation or in a relationship with someone they were with for a while, they're like, I think it's time for me to explore that, you know, version of me. So it's okay. Do the damn thing.
All right. Number four. This is very important. You don't have to pick a label if you don't want to.
Don't do it.
Take your time. Like, so many people come out as, like, lesbian or gay, queer, whatever, and then maybe they want, they're, like, bisexual, or vice versa. They come out as bisexual, and then they're like, oh, maybe I'm, like, lesbian or pansexual. There are so many labels, and I think that within the LGBTQ community, we could be, like, very nitpicky about that. Like, some people really like labels. Some people don't care about labels. Some people think labels are important. Some people think they're not fucking important. I feel like we're a little bit divided when it comes to that in the LGBTQ community. And if you don't know, it's okay to use the generic one, which is gay or queer. Like, you don't gotta be so damn specific, you know? And I feel like that was something that I struggled with too, and I feel like still struggle with, because people have this, they feel some type of way around about bisexual people. The LGBTQ community does a great job at at making bisexuals feel like they're invalid and kind of pushing us away from the community in a way. Like, they want us to figure it out. What do you want? You want woman? You want men? What do you want? What is it that you want? And I think that's corny.
I'm gay. I'm just saying. But I agree. The label thing, I say this often. I feel like labels are just to make other people feel comfortable. You know, if you're a person who really stand by your labels and they mean something to you, that's awesome. That's great. You know, at times I think that they do serve a purpose. But for me, I guess with my experience of just being in limbo with exploring my sexuality, it can be very confusing, and people can be very shame. How do you say it? Like, they really shun you for the shit that you do. And it's just really crazy. You know, you can go from being, you know, when you're young, you're like, I'm a lesbian. And then some people transition, and then they actually do explore men, and then they have kids. And now all of a sudden, you know, you got the community throwing shots, talking about, yeah, you're not gay. You was never gay. Or like, you know, it's vice versa, you know.
You're talking about trans people who then like men?
No.
Oh.
No, I'm talking like legit, like gay people who start off gay, you know, and then they're like, or who are at the time comfortable in that, in that, you know, light of like, I've messed with girls, that's where I started, and then transitioned into messing with guys. Not even married, just messing, like just exploring that side of the world. Just like straight people explore gay, so like we're quick to accept that, but it's like vice versa. I don't know, that's just things that I've seen. So I just feel like it sometimes labels, although it affirms things for people, it also can be, it can be very I can't figure out the word. Yeah, like it just tells, makes people come for you, because it's like if you say you're this and all of a sudden you're that, people feel like you're not valid. Like, oh, you were faking it the whole time type shit. Like, you want some other shit. You're not true to this, you know? Weird shit like that.
And I can understand that though. Like, I feel like people who do feel some type of way is because they feel like used. Mm-hmm. Like, they feel like, oh, you was just fucking with me. Like, you were just messing with, you know, my feelings and my emotions, and you just want to explore with me, but in reality you really like men. So they feel a little bit used. So I could understand that part of it, but it is a complicated thing, and I think that people just lack communication skills. Like, tell them I'm not sure. Like, they ask you if you're a lesbian, I'm not sure, I'm exploring my sexuality, but I don't have to pick a label. Like, that's it. And then the next one, number 5, has a lot to do with number 4, is that bisexuality is valid. And we had some TikTok video, we had posted a TikTok video, and a lot of people were arguing with each other in the comments about bisexuality, and how, you know, a lot of lesbians don't date bisexuals, they don't like bisexual woman, and how it could be biphobic. And some people were like, well, it's not biphobic because, and this is an example that I want you guys to think about. If you were to meet a girl in the club, right? Y'all vibing, you think she's cute, she thinks you're cute, y'all having a good time. 20 minutes in, she tells you, oh yeah, but I'm bisexual. And then you're like, ah, nah. Like, it was nice meeting you, but have a good night. That is biphobic, because before she said she was bisexual, she told you, like, y'all was having a good time. And then she told you this, and then you was like, nah, fuck out of here.
So just ask before you're having a good time.
Yeah, but it's like, how do you even ask people that?
I don't know.
You know, like, it's like an awkward thing, but, like, that's what it means to be biphobic. Like, if that...
I mean,
it's
the same way if you're like, are you gay? You're not gay? Okay.
Yeah.
It's the same thing. No. Why would it be uncomfortable to ask somebody if they're bisexual? Everybody's bisexual nowadays, so it should be easy.
I don't know. I don't even know how people ask it, but, yeah.
Okay. 6, you don't have to be the gay bestie. And you also don't have to fall in love with your bestie, you gay bitch. I don't know what it is. Well, I mean, it's your bestie, so I guess it makes sense. But anyway, you don't have to be the gay bestie. And with that being said, you don't have to be the one that everybody's running to just because you're that bitch, you know, and have to take on the world for all your friends. You know, we have, I don't know, I feel like we're... As the gay bestie, not that you're held to a higher standard, but it's just like it's a little bit more pressure in a sense of they expect you to be the life of the party. They expect you to be the stylish bitch in the game. They expect you. I mean, you can. Most of the besties, the gay besties are little players, little hoochie doochies. But yeah, it's just.
Just a lot of expectations.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It can be like that.
Yeah.
But if you got it, bitch, you got it. And yeah. That's period.
Yeah.
But that's really all I got for that. Number 7.
All right. Number 7. Straight girls aren't the only femmes.
Period.
What do you
and
mean
that's on motherfucker, mean by period, that? Exclamation point, no question marks.
What do you mean by that?
So for me, again, reverting back to when I was coming up in my gay shit, I had this idea of like, you're either masculine or feminine. And I feel like at the time when I was coming out and exploring that side of my sexuality, a lot of us were coming out as studs, right? We were really in tune with the masculinity identity of being a lesbian or like being the gay girl. That it kind of made it seem like gay girls don't look girly. And that's where like a lot of confusion still till today is like, oh, you're gay? You look like this and you're gay? That's not right, you know? So I feel like in that time, it was just like if you knew another gay girl, she was masculine. And y'all was cool. Y'all was friends. But it was like, where the femme gay girls at? Like, we made it seem like it didn't exist, basically. So you date the straight girls because you think only straight girls are femmes. Only straight girls look girly, you know?
Are they even really straight then?
I don't know. It's a hit or miss.
Anna Sheridan. Missing for nearly 6 months now.
I need you to find me.
The Sheridan Tapes, a serialized horror mystery podcast. Stream the complete series today on Realm and on all podcasting platforms.
I don't know, because again, back when we were younger, it just made sense and that's what it was. I think now, in like this generation, it's you know... It has broadened its horizons, or in the words of yours, it has, what's that?
Expanded
the palette. Yes, expanded your palette.
But I think this has a lot to do with studs not wanting to date other studs because people think it's weird. And you barely see that. You barely see that.
Right.
I can't even name a couple that's a stud and a stud dating. Like, it's like... People see that as weird. And I don't know why. But femme and femme is okay.
Right. Femme, that shit's
femme
sexy.
Femme and femme is popping.
Yeah, like that's the only accepted type of woman-on-woman version. Like, no, grow the fuck up. That's a men's idea of fucking lesbians. No. But that leads into the next one, number 8, which is you can date anyone you're attracted to regardless of presentation. And that... pretty much goes back to the one we just did where it don't matter if you're stud and stud, you know, if you're attracted to that person, be with that person. You know, there are studs who like studs, women who like masculine and part feminine, you know, women who just like feminine. I know a lot of femmes and it's funny because it's like, how can studs be like, nah, I don't fuck with other masculine Jones. I want a feminine girl. But then get butt hurt when they try to holler at a feminine girl and a feminine girl's like, nah, I only fuck with femmes. You know how salty that is?
You can relate.
I think at one point I could relate. I think at one point I was like, damn. So when I'm like, because I also experienced both where it's like, oh, well, I'm too masculine. Eventually I found my way with getting, with being comfortable with fucking with studs or more masculine people. Cause I like a little bit of masculine energy. I hold a little bit of both. And I was like the in between where it's like, I'm a little too masculine for most mass and I'm not at all enough feminine for an over femme shorty who wants like a legit dolled up shorty. So I had issues with that in my, you know, last couple years before I got with you, where it was so like, all right.
You weren't femme enough for the
studs. I wouldn't be femme enough for the studs. Yeah, basically. And I'm not femme enough for the femmes who want the femmes. Like, what? But nah, I mean, listen, when you got it, you got it, and people are gonna attract to it. And I think like it wasn't that I was out here just like looking for studs. Like there were some who actually was like, all right, I'd fuck with you. There was one who was like, eh, you're too masculine for me, and then she shut the fuck up and she fucked with me. And it happens. Like it's really just about the person you present yourself to be. We gotta remember that.
But did you feel like the need to be more feminine and play like that feminine role in quotations
to an extent, the slightest bit, because at some point I realized like there's no, for me, I felt like there was no balance of like a little bit of femininity and masculinity. And at the time I was, I had fucked with super masculine, like super masculine, and I got a little bit of femininity out of them. And like, at the time, like, I was just growing into my femininity, too. So it was like, this is a lot.
This is a roller coaster.
Yeah.
That's what it sounds like.
Yeah. So think of it this way. If you've watched The O Word and you've seen Bet and Gigi literally wrestle each other to have sex, that's literally what it was like. Uncomfortable as fuck, because it was just the toss and turn, the this and that. And I was one to be like, yeah, I'm not no pillow princess ass bitch. Like, that's not how I came up. So we about to do this both ways or no ways.
Two tops going crazy.
Right. So yeah, but you can, it don't matter if you fuck with somebody and a person fuck with you. It doesn't matter how they present. At the end of the day, the woman is a woman, the man is a man. If it works for you, let it work for you. Who gives a fuck about what people say? As long as you're comfortable. All right, moving on. Number 9. Turning straight girls out isn't going to prove how gay you are.
I don't know why that's a thing.
It is. It is. I mean, I think, you know, one good time, sure, it's fine to experience. It definitely is a moment in time where you kind of feel, is it inferior? Is that where you like feel like you're on top? I don't know. My vocabulary isn't all that good. But like you kind of feel like the man. You know when you like bag the baddest bitch in the game? Yeah. Like that's kind of how you feel when you when you get with a straight girl. And like that's cool and all. You know, you learn a lot of things in that time, you know? And she also learns that she's just a little bit gay too. But I wouldn't make that you know, regular thing. Like people get stuck on that feeling and that excitement and that chase, and they kind of live off of that, and they're just constantly in it with straight girls. And it's just like, when you're disappointed and they go back to men and really leave you because they really wasn't a whole 100% about this life, don't be mad.
This is like I feel like this is an interesting one, because sometimes I do feel like we were all the straight girl at one point, but my problem with this is that I feel like I dated people who they always dated a straight girl. It was like they left a straight, like they left a straight girl relationship, fucked with another straight girl. The next one was another straight girl. Like it was just, it was just like, God damn, like this is a pattern with you. And then you got upset with the outcome of it, because sometimes people aren't at your level, they're not ready to come out. And then that puts a lot of pressure in the relationship, because you've been out, you know, and then you date a straight girl and then you're like, when are you gonna come out? And they're like, well, I don't feel like I'm ready yet, you know? So it's just like a tricky thing. And then dating someone who isn't out yet makes you feel like you're in the closet again, when you've already been there, done that. You just want to literally love this person in front of everybody and not feel any type of way. So I feel like this one is like a hard one because I do feel like we were all the straight girl at one point, but I don't know. Not all, but some of us.
Majority of us. But number 9 goes in, well, actually correlates to number 10, which pretty much don't come out if you don't want to. It doesn't have to be this big announcement. You don't have to owe any... Whoa. You don't owe anyone anything. Sorry, I'm kind of reading. But basically, yeah, you don't owe anybody shit. You mm-hmm. don't have to come out on somebody else's time. You don't have to come out because the person you're with... Are you fighting them? Yeah.
Because you are. Yeah, because... I'm scared.
Not because it's dead ass. Like, I hear so many times and I get it. But mm-hmm. it's just like, don't put yourself in relationships or positions to where you're with somebody who isn't out. And you want them to come out. Like, that is not your position or your place to tell them, listen, you're either coming out mm-hmm. or I'm leaving. Then fucking leave. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't... Mm-hmm. I just think, like, we have to be more compassionate and understanding when it comes to people's coming out process. Because what was your time like that? Like, you know, you have to... roll it back mm-hmm. and think like, oh, I remember when I was in that space and how I felt and what I was worried about. And, you know, mm-hmm. so I just feel like as a partner, as a friend or whatever, even though we know like it's going to be a little bit better on this side as soon as you come out. Mm-hmm. I just think like we should really be more supportive and understanding mm-hmm. when they don't want to come out. Let yeah. them come out on their time.
Yeah. And I think with what I meant with this also, it was like, you don't have to come out. You don't have to make a big Facebook post. You don't have to make an Instagram post. You don't have to do anything. Like,
it don't gotta be a huge...
It don't have to be a huge...
gestured announcement.
Gender reveal yeah. type of thing. Like, like, as we get older, you know, we start caring less. I feel like for the younger generation, they may feel the need to, like, let me write this big caption and let all my, you know, college friends know that I'm gay now. But, like...
Who Let me cut fuck? My hair if and I come post, out with a selfie saying I'm gay now. If
you
post a
picture
now.
With your new girl and people are like, who's that? Who that? You don't gotta respond.
Period.
Like, it's like, you're just gonna keep posting this person. They're gonna get the gist of it. They're gonna understand. Oh, she likes girls. Oh, does she like guys too? Like, who gives a fuck? Let them keep wondering. If you want to post just a hand of them and just, like, don't post a face, just do that. Who cares? Like, I feel like... A lot of people put pressure into just, like, the coming out process. Mm-hmm. Like, I put a lot of pressure into that, too. But that's because I have a really close relationship with my family. But I never put pressure into, like, coming out to society, coming mm-hmm. out to friends. It was just, like, with friends, you know how I came out? I was like, yeah, so me and this girl, well, I met this girl and this yeah. is what happened. It was literally not like, oh, my God, I have to tell you guys something. Yeah. I only did that with, like I said, family and... like close friends, but like friends that I talk to, I'm like, girl, it is what it is.
It's just we're a regular fluid. Conversation, yeah. Uh-huh. It's just like if you tell me about a homeboy, I'm gonna tell you about a shorty. Like, it's not like, oh my yeah. God, like half the time, most, mm-hmm. well, a good majority of the time, people kind of already know that you're gay. They're gonna be like, girl, we already knew, we was just waiting.
Yeah.
But that's true. Like, I don't.
And I think also with like the family thing, like I felt like, oh, I have to come out to everybody. Like, I gotta come out to my cousins. I gotta come out to my aunt. I gotta come out to my other aunt. Like, I felt like, oh my God, this is just too many people. So I just didn't. If you see a picture of me and JoJo on the internet, that's on you. I don't yeah, God care. Bless. Like, so I was like, if my mom tells my aunt, even better for me. Yeah, like, right? I don't even have to sit here and tell you.
Let them have that combo.
I just don't want to hear it. And, like, we come from a Hispanic, you know, family. And sometimes they could say things that they don't realize are hurtful. Mm-hmm. I was just like, I just don't want to hear it. Like, I told the people who were important to me, parents, siblings. That's pretty much it. Extended family. Don't care.
Yeah, you don't have to make a big deal about telling everybody. Mm-hmm. Like, when I told my mom, I told her when I was ready, and everybody else leading up to my mom, like, everybody pretty much knew except my mom, because I wanted to tell her straight up, and I knew that she was the type of person to be like, I'm not going to believe you until she tells me directly. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm not going to, even if I might know, she has to tell me directly. Mm-hmm. But everybody else, I didn't really was like, yeah, I'm gay, or I was just like, yeah, I was talking to this shorty the other day, and and that's kind of, it was just regular conversation. Yeah, and you either got it or you didn't. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It was never like a, listen, y'all, I'm gay. Like, nah. I think I did that to, like, my dad and my brothers, and that was it. They didn't care about what they thought because I knew they were going to love me. But my mom was always the biggest, and that was it. Everybody else, you if you if you was around, you knew what was up or you didn't, and I really didn't care.
Yeah.
So, but that closes out our 10 things I wish I knew before I was gay. Yep. Oh, before I came out.
Before, because
I'm still gay. right, you hear me? I'm bugging. Anything you want to add before we
slide? That's all. I'm hot right now. Like, God bless.
All right, y'all. So we're gonna get into this family meeting real quick before we hop on out of here. We got shit to do. Say nah, I'll let you.
This one, right? I don't know.
All right. Hello. I came out as a lesbian 3 or 4 years ago, and I haven't started dating yet. I've never been on a date or been with anyone, and I don't know where to start. I've thought about dating apps, but that can be a huge gamble. I also thought about trying to approach or meeting someone in a public setting, but I feel like I'm too shy and awkward to make the first move. I can't go to any lesbian bar/clubs either because I'm underage. I'm 19. Any tips? Yikes. It'd be the young ages that are hard to do that. I don't have much experience with dating apps. Honestly, social media has kind of been the dating app, so to say.
So when you were 19, how were you dating?
Girl, I was playing sports and shit. That's how I met people. Okay. Playing sports in high school, you know, people that I was in class with, making friends. Mm-hmm. But I think that sports definitely was the big play for me when I was younger. Mm-hmm. Because I was meeting people from everywhere, and mm-hmm. the more I met people and played sports, you know you kind of like had like, you know, grew friendships and shit, and then you start to know who's gay, who's not, and all mm-hmm. that shit. So I think that played a big part. I feel like if you're working, sometimes working and getting to know the people that you work mm-hmm. and not taking advantage, but also, like, it'd be the mutual friends, you know? Mm-hmm. So with knowing the people that you work with, maybe getting, you know, to know their friends, like if you go out with them and you get to know their friends and making friends from there, and you know people fall into place. That's where you kind of meet people. Yeah. Is through meeting other people. But eventually it became social media is kind of like the dating app Instagram. You know, you follow mm-hmm. somebody, you like their pictures, it's kind of like you're telling them, you know, hey, I think you're kind of cute, and then you slide into the DMs and do all that shit. Like, that's still a thing. I think that's probably where most of everybody's been really doing it.
I feel like it's hard to be like at that age, because I feel like not real dating but like you go on a lot of dates when you're like in your 20s, just because you do go out, you go to bars, you meet people and things like that. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you're in college or not, but I definitely recommend going to like these queer spaces. Like, I know in college they usually have like a women's center or like an LGBTQ club and stuff, and even though it sounds corny, like you gotta give it a chance, and this is where people are meeting other people, putting yourself out there more. Like, let's say they have like open mic night, or like just going to events that the school is already throwing. Like, you never know who you could meet, you know. But, like, if you're not in school, then work. Like, I feel like a lot of people meet someone from work. However, you have to be real careful with that, because I feel like dating coworkers could be tragic.
Yeah. Like, that's why I said go for the friends.
It could be. Yeah. Like, I feel like maybe go out with your coworkers, friends, and get to meet people there. Like Jojo said, social media. I don't know about the dating apps, just because I feel like you could meet some really weird people there. And, like, you're 19, and sometimes these older people just be taking advantage. So I don't want you to date someone that's, like, 15 years older than you. And, you know, like, you should be dating someone who's, like, you know, in your age range, since you've never been in a relationship before. Yeah. And yeah, I mean, maybe we should do like a podcast episode on like going on dates and things like that.
I think we think so hard, especially when we're younger, is like how to date, how adults date, you know, going to bars, doing this. I mean, let's be real. The older you get, it's not that much easier. It just opens your options in terms of environments, you know. But I think that when you think about, oh well, I can't date like that because I can't get into a bar or like shit like that, we aren't cognitive of the things we have, you know,
access
for us, access for us to have. And it's like, realize what you got. You know, school is a big play. That's where you're getting all your social skills from. You've been getting your social skills from school for the last 12 years. Playing sports, getting into clubs. There's actually establishments. Like, I'm sorry, hold on. There's actually establishments that do like that, like you said, open mic nights. Like it doesn't have to be in school. There's some establishments that actually do those things on the regular.
You don't have to be 21.
Yeah, you don't have to be over age just to get in these places. It's just certain hours you can't get in. You know, so it's just doing your research and you know, finding places that way.
I don't know about the whole playing sports thing, because if this person is in college, you either have to go in there playing a sport, because I feel like it's kind of hard to start.
That's where clubs come in.
But I recommend going to the actual games. Like, you know, just going to these basketball games, whatever it is, just go to the games. You literally never know who you could meet there. And for some reason, there's always a lot of gay girls who play sports. And then you find them on Instagram, you stalk them, then you DM them.
Period.
There's this one.
Yeah, but I like this one.
Oh, okay.
All right, next one. I got out of a 6-year relationship. I've been single for a year. At heart, I'm very much tomboyish and consider myself more boyish, but I love to dress up girly and very femme. But all I seem to attract is butch girls, which I'm not into. Seems like femmes just aren't into femmes.
Seems like femmes aren't into femmes.
Anything you can recommend or where I can find femmes that are into femmes, which is literally the shit we was talking about. I don't know. I guess it's hard to realize, like, well, femmes are gay, because it's just like a femme is just a girly girl or just a regular. So it's hard to differentiate. But there actually are literally femmes out here who like femmes. And it kind of is hard to tell, because that goes back to what I was saying. If you're this way, they don't like you. If you're that way, they don't like you. And I feel like when you're presenting the same presentation as them, it's like nobody shows you attention. But when you're the opposite presentation of what you want to attract, everybody wants to come. So I think as a femme, you're always going to get, or when you present as more feminine, you're always going to get a masculine, like, expect to get a mask lesbian's attention. Like, it's going to happen a good majority of the time. But you don't know with femmes, you feel me? So it's like, you literally have to go up to them the same, like, it, regardless of you're presenting femme or masculine, you got to go up to these people. You got to know what they like. You can't just hold the wall up and wait for someone to come, because you're not, it's not going to come. So if you want a femme, approach them. And they're either going to be like, you're so pretty, you know, but I'm just not, I kind of like masculine women. And that's okay. The same way you got to tell studs, listen, I like femmes. You got to take what you dish out, right?
But I want to get back into the, she said, I'm not into butch girls. Like, obviously this isn't a conversation, so I can't, I don't know what her answer is. But what is it about butch girls, in quotations, that you don't like? Is it their presentation, or is it the way that they act? Because you may be thinking that someone is super masculine and super butch because of how they present, but in reality, they really be so feminine. A lot of stud girls are so feminine behind closed doors, you'd be surprised.
Yeah, but I feel like that would be the same, because, like, you consider yourself a little bit more tomboyish and have a certain type of masculinity, but you also present but you just publicly present yourself more feminine. Mm-hmm. Like, it's kind of the same.
Yeah.
So, but I don't know. You gotta approach people nowadays because it's like, mm-hmm. you don't know who's gay. You don't know if the femme girl's gay or just a girly girl. It's a lot of confusion. So mm-hmm. you just gotta say, you know, go up, approach people, say the damn thing, you know? Hey, I think you're really cute. I think you're really beautiful. What's up? Mm-hmm. And they're either going to say, it's just going to be like a regular, you know, mm-hmm. I'm not into it, or yeah, what's up? Like, you really don't know. What are you going to lose?
Yeah.
You can't lose nothing if you never had it. Feel me?
But you could also try new things.
What do you mean? Oh, like, yeah. You'd be surprised. Entertain the person. You never know. You might actually like them. Like I said earlier, it don't matter how they look. Give people a chance and they will surprise you. Mm-hmm. But that's all we got for today in this episode. I hope you guys liked it, enjoyed it. She loved it so much. She's getting wet over here. Her water just dropped all over her shirt. Is there anything you want to...
No, that's all. Thank you so much for listening. Don't forget to like, share, comment, and subscribe if you're new here. Please, please, please subscribe.
Yes.
We post... podcast every Monday at 12 p.m. Eastern time, and the video goes out at 6 p.m. Eastern time. So yeah, and if you haven't signed up for Patreon, go ahead and do so. We post bonus content on there as well every week, and that's pretty much it.
Side note, mm-hmm. the stuff we post on Patreon, we do post some audios talking about more personal shit that we don't necessarily talk about on here, but we also give you our extra content videos that we give you are more personal to us as well. Mm-hmm. It's not us just chitty chatty. So if you want more of us personally, go ahead and sign up to our Patreon. You will not regret it. You'll be entertained, and that's on period. You heard. All right, now.
Bye.
Deuce, deuce, mother goose.